no matter how frustrating it is, life will tell you all its secrets. It'll give you its cheat codes. It'll make life easy. It'll make golf easy, not dis-easy.
And welcome back. Welcome aboard another Partrain. I'm one of your hosts, Evan Singer. Matt Cermak couldn't join me because this was an in-person interview in Los Angeles. More to come on our interview with David Meltzer. Super special, a little bit of a shorter interview than we normally do, but you guys are in for a real treat. But before we get to that, in case you guys are new, welcome aboard. We help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride again, because if you can learn to smile through bad golf, you can smile through anything. Before we get to this interview with David, quick word from our friends at Roback. I feel like they're dropping new activewear gear in every category, whether you're a lady, whether you're for your lady, they've got new ladies' dresses, polos, but also for the guys out there, they just dropped new spring polos, new spring hoodies. I think they still have some of the Azalea stuff left over from the Masters week. So I wear it head to toe now. I'm wearing it now. Their new t-shirts are amazing. Everything that they do is the best. And I know from talking with their team that they put minimum 1 to 2 years before they release a product, because they care that much about the quality. So go to roback.com, enter the code TRAIN, get 15% off. And if the code doesn't work, it means you've probably used it before and you got to get creative and ask for your wife's email or create a new email. Do whatever you have to do, because you deserve the discounts. And Roback hasn't slapped me on the wrist yet for saying it. So roback.com, enter the code TRAIN, get 15% off. All right, let me give you a little bit of backstory. Funny story here. Actually, David Meltzer is most known for being the CEO of the renowned Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Agency, which was actually the inspiration for the movie Jerry Maguire. So the biggest sports agency in the world, he ran it, and he has a ton of knowledge and insights. The guy is just a walking quote machine. And what's really cool is this guy normally gets about $100,000 to go speak somewhere. And we got you him for free. He actually asked me, invited me to visit him at his suite at SoFi Stadium. So I showed up to SoFi Stadium with no sporting event. It was very eerie and odd. And I got escorted up to his suite and did a podcast with his crew in his suite. I joke about it at the beginning of the interview. And I only got 20 minutes, but they promised me you're going to get a lot in 20 minutes. And I will say, my wife, Tara, and I agreed. Of all the interviews I've done, to get this many sound bites and pro tips that you could put in your back pocket and could change your life tomorrow, it's as much, if not more, than any podcast we've done. And we only had 20 minutes. So that's a testament to David. It's a testament to his team. And this is a shorty, but a goodie. So if you guys like this interview, which I know you will, do us a solid. Hop aboard the podcast if you haven't already. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify. Subscribe on YouTube. This video, this podcast will be there on YouTube as well. And don't forget our email newsletter. Send it out every Monday. Subscribe at thepartrain.com. A little nugget to keep you on track, as well as getting first access to merchandise drops. So as always, guys, no matter where you're hitting it, or how frustrated you are at the moment, just remember, enjoy the ride, keep tracking. Thanks, guys. Take care.
David Meltzer, welcome aboard the Partrain, my man. Happy to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I gotta say, I've got a confession before we start. My Jewish guilt is at an all-time high, because you're on our show, you're a guest on my show, but I'm in your suite, and you have your team filming me. So I don't know what to do with all this.
Oh, well,
I'm not used to having
someone
as a guest, but I'm technically here in your place. So this is new for me.
Well, I'm glad to have you as my host in my suite. Yeah. So thank you.
We have as your guest,
a beautiful waiting room behind us.
Yeah. So you've said you believe that the consistent, persistent pursuit of one's potential is the most important journey. I want to start today by asking you, since your son, you told me last time we talked, has gotten really into golf, how has his consistent, persistent pursuit of that either reinforced what you believe about that or taught you something you didn't know?
Well, number one, it definitely reinforces what I believe. And what I believe has gone even farther than just enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. It's understanding the things that we can do every day represent 90% of the exponential growth in our life. And so for me, I have about 10 hours a day of consistent, persistent, non-negotiables, starting with sleep, which is 7 hours minimum, and then 3 hours to family, fitness, finance, faith, studying time. And it equals about a total of 10 hours. What I've realized in this conversation is that in that 10 hours, because I don't miss, it's non-negotiable, and I do it every single day in alignment with where I want to be, or better, I call that divine direction, in divine time, allowing it to evolve and lessons to protect, promote, and truly propel me towards what I want. What I've learned is that my primary focus has to be on that 10 hours, because it's the other 14 hours that I get to do whatever I want each day according to the circumstances of the day that only represents 10% of what's gonna grow in my life, because it's not consistent, it's not every day. It has a zeroing effect. And so to watch my son fall in love with golf and spend a minimum amount of time every single day, we have a golf zone in my backyard. We belong to a country club. We play whenever I'm home, just 9 holes, because I won't give it more or take the chance that it would take more than 2 hours, where 9 holes is very easy to manage. Yeah. And it also overlaps into the minimum amount of time I want to spend with him a day as well. And so I think it's really important. It absolutely confirms what I believe in. What is interesting was the first part, it really came from understanding my own experience with golf. They were talking about, you know, David's never had a lesson, and he comes out and plays and beats everyone that has a handicap, that has lessons. You know, I will honestly as well, I think this is important. What I provide my son in golf is about me. And I've realized that. In other words, I don't push him to play golf, and that's why he started late, is I refused to push him to play golf. But when he came to me and said, I want to play golf, Dad, I took him to the Masters twice, and I want to, can you get me a set of clubs? I do everything in golf that I was jealous that I couldn't afford to do. So the best country club, the best equipment, the binder, you know, like my wife's like, why you could get that? I'm like, it's an ego thing for me. It's almost like, you know, it's funny with Jewish guilt. I was taught when I owned my golf course that you always know when a Jewish guy owns a golf course because it's the greenest. Because they're like, you didn't let me in your club. Yeah. And so my club's going to have the green, they overwater, they yeah. everything. So, you know, all the guys who I know that own clubs that were Jewish, they were always that way. I feel that way with my son. I'm like overspending. And he's like, I don't need that. And I'm like, oh, you're going to get the best, you know, of everything. Yeah. And so I took away that, one, the exponentiality lies within the consistent behavior from watching my son in 9 months really become a great golfer. And because he's so consistent, not because he has the best coaching, not the country club, not the golf zone, all the benefits I give him. It's just that he spends the time every day without missing a day.
What do you play to? What is your rough handicap?
Are we betting or bragging?
We're betting.
15.
15?
If I'm bragging, I'm a 9.
I love that.
So somewhere in between is the truth. But I like to play from the whites. So
okay.
Right, I like to play from the whites. And I'll tell you, it's so weird for me because I used to represent Lee Elder, and he would love to play with me. So I got to play the greatest courses on earth. And I'm like, Lee, why do you always want to take me to Augusta, me to Cypress, me to Pine Valley? And he's like, because you're the only 40-something, I'm in my mid-50s, late mid-50s. He's like, you're the only 40-something-year-old I can outdrive. Now I know how he feels. And so if I play from the blues, it's not like my score would be that much less. It's like I unconsciously think I have to swing harder.
Yeah.
And then it screws up my game.
Right.
Where I have so much confidence playing from the whites that I have that nice fluid, and I end up driving it more than 220.
Yeah.
Which is a miracle when I drive, so.
That's actually something a lot of people say golfers should do, is play up a tee, enjoy it, reach the goals you want,
so,
and then
nice.
Once you reach it, go back a tee or
yeah.
two, whatever. So I know we don't have a lot of time. I want to use this time to try and figure out 3 examples that golf can give us the skills to advance in our career. Not necessarily the networking side, because I know that's helpful too, but the skills that golf teaches us to that it could advance any career.
So the number one thing is every shot every hole, every round, every tournament is its own. And I find that in life to be so valuable that I'm able to understand that every shot I take is its own, and that there is only my reaction to that shot that interferes or accelerates me toward where I want to be.
Yeah.
So that's the number one lesson that I also, I never coach my son in the skill side of golf ever. No tips at all, mm-hmm. except for mindset. And the number one lesson I'm teaching him is when he hits a bad shot, it's his own game. That shot is its own. And in life, the better you understand that that shot's its own, and it's your reaction to that shot that matters most, because it's going to determine the next shot, the next shot, and the next shot. So to me, that's the number one lesson of golf. I also believe that golf teaches you that sometimes you hit the best shot and you end up in a shitty lie. And that's a really valuable lesson that a lot of people, they don't see. Like, I have perfect execution and I just get a shitty lie. And the thing is, are you going to be protected, promoted, and loved by that lie, or punished by it? And so I think there's a lot to golf in that lesson, that sometimes I also hit really shitty shots and I end up
rewarded.
Honestly, I've hit a putt, and in my mind, I'm like, oh, and it went in. Right? Yeah. Or on a drive.
Right.
Like, and so that happens all the time for me in life as well. And so that lesson of just keep playing, and you're always protected, promoted, and loved.
People are trying to get that rule changed, by the way. The ball in a divot in the fairway.
Right.
They want the USGA to make that a free drop, but it's like, that's the game.
It is
the game.
That's
where it lies, right?
It absolutely is. And then the biggest lesson in golf is why I love the movie Bagger Vance.
Oh, it's my favorite movie.
It's an amazing movie. And I made my son watch it, and he's glad he did. I also made him watch another great movie, Miracle on Ice, Miracle. Mm-hmm. And so the lesson, and most people may not catch in both movies, but in Bagger Vance, the one thing that truly comes to the climax of the movie was calling a penalty on yourself. There's a lot going on in that movie.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to the ultimate decision of where he went through his journey, that movie is all about accountability. And accountability, there's three lessons inside of the lesson of accountability in Bagger Vance. One is, what did I do to be responsible for this? He has an ultimate decision. It's like, you know, I tried to be a hero and everybody died. And he was in blame, shame, and justification, and he was punishing himself and all these things. But really, this movie is about accountability. What did I do to be responsible for this? Two, what did I do to attract this to myself? Right? As he came back from the war, he surrounded himself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. And then the young boy comes and reminds him of who he was and who he used to surround himself with. The person of character, his dad, who the young boy was embarrassed of, but who was working the streets as a garbage guy because he had paid everyone back instead of the other dads that screwed everybody and still had money.
Right.
And then the final one, which is the biggest lesson in accountability in the movie, which is why I love it so much, is it is that, what are you doing to participate in this perception? And when it comes down to that last, the ball moves. And everybody doesn't want him to call the penalty on himself.
Right.
But he's participating now in a different perception of self. He's participating in the perception of, I am going to play by the rules to do my best, learn lessons, and have fun. From complete misery. And of course, it ends up that he ties. And it's the greatest golf game ever played in Savannah, Georgia. But in the end, he's happy, right? But how does it end? It ends with Bagger, you know, clicking up his heels, but he gets his dance with the love of his life. And he's living in accountability. He has taken control of a life that he was out of control. And it resonates with me on many different levels, but especially my own personal experience of having to call my own self on my BS and to take accountability for the mistakes that I made in the past, but most importantly, to be responsible, to understand attraction, and to participate in a perception, to find the light, the love, and the lessons to learn from all that happens in my life.
You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of my favorite quote that I have never forgotten. I read it when I was in college years ago, and it's, there is no such thing as failure, only succeeding at finding out what doesn't work. And what you're saying is, we get stuck in the blame and the shame of it, but to remove your identity from it and say, what did I do to create that? Now it's not a personal thing. It's an objective curiosity exercise and learning moment.
And purposeful in what you just said, that it's not only what did I do, but what am I supposed to learn from it? Mm. You see, all resolution, resolve, resolution. You understand that re isn't there by accident. See, the teacher's guide is already there. Mm. You're just interfering it. And so as we learn, we're clearing away the interference between the solution and us. That's why we resolve it, or we have a resolution, a resolution. It's already there.
Right.
You're already taking the calculus test, and the teacher's guide's right there. What are you doing to interfere with you and the cheat code, the teacher's guide, the answer?
Yeah.
And when we realize that we are in control of clearing the interference between us and that which already exists, therefore I am, not I need more, want more, but instead I am, what am I doing to interfere with what I am, not what I want other people to think I am, what's missing, what I don't have, or anything else, which actually is applicable to Bagger Vance, because that's where he was living, in what I don't have, what was missing, what had happened, instead of in what people thought of him, instead of who he was, which was maybe Savannah George's greatest golfer of all time and a war hero.
If you love the podcast and you love our merchandise drops, I think I got something you'll probably enjoy. You go to thepartrain.com, hop aboard our email list, get a free newsletter that keeps your game on track, a little mental nugget every Monday, and then maybe even more importantly, first access to merchandise drops before any Instagram promotion. We send it to our email subscribers first. And so if that interests you, hop aboard the email list at thepartrain.com.
I also love from that movie that his confidence and his good play wasn't that far away. And I think when we get stuck in the blame and the shame, it feels years, miles away, but he started to do a couple things better. He started to get out of his way and his authentic swing came through. I've learned that personally through my own struggles of, you know, I needed to first understand what was I doing wrong, what is getting in my way, and then arm myself with knowledge to understand what do I do best, what can I lean on to go into the next swing, which is if you don't have that, then it's either blame, shame, or it's fix it, but you don't know what you're trying to fix.
Yeah, and then there's the dichotomy of ego, where he went from punishing himself with ego into promoting himself too much. Right. In the course of all the rounds, he went from complete punishment to elevated promotion. And so the idea of neutrality and ease and understanding what creates dis-ease in our life, mentally, physically, and spiritually, is all encompassed in golf. That you could be the greatest athlete of all time and not be good. You could also be the strongest mindset person of all time and not be good. You also could have extreme spirituality and manifestation, promise and prowess, and not be good at golf. But when you balance all of them together with the mindset, the heartset, and the handset, you equal someone like Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
At his prime. And when you see Tiger Woods, you realize, when's the first time he missed the cut? When his dad died. Why is that? Because you didn't have all three. When his personal issues occurred with his wife, he did have all three.
Right.
Now, on the physical side, after his car accident, he doesn't have all three. He makes up for it with extreme mindset and heart set now, but he doesn't have the physical handset anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's such a beautiful game to play and to perceive, because we can utilize that balance of mind, body, and soul, mindset, heart set, handset, in everything that we do.
Yeah, I love that. We only got 5 minutes, so I'm going to do one more list.
Sure.
Three ways. Your mission, for context, is to try and help over a billion people happy.
Over a billion people to be happy, yeah.
And we help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride again. and we use the most frustrating game in the world to try and make people happier. What are three examples, three ways that golf, the most frustrating game in the world, can teach those similar principles to make you a happier person?
Well, one is gratitude. So, you know, in golf, you find the light, the love, and the lessons in golf. And if I couldn't think of a better sport to learn gratitude for. And although you give meaning to everything you see, it's amazing, you know, you've seen the t-shirts and the hats, right? My worst day at golf is better than the best day at work. Mm-hmm. Well, because golf itself, as frustrating as it is, it's better than anything else. And so the first one is gratitude. Two is forgiveness. In that understanding of, I am human, and you know, as I study human nature, I study history in order to facilitate seeing human nature, because human nature never changes. It's a game of forgiveness. Those who have more gratitude and more forgiveness are the best golfers. Mm. And you can't give what you don't have. So if you can't forgive yourself, then you're not going to be a good golfer. If you're not grateful, you're not going to be a good golfer. Thus, the lesson within those two lessons are that when things are most at dis-ease, it is gratitude and forgiveness that elevates our awareness to all that we're given. And then finally, it is, for me, accountability to be inspired. So the inspiration comes from that I am, not what I think other people, and to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with my best game, my higher self, my potential. So is it, you know, the swing? Is it my practice? Is it the weather? What is it that's interfering with my higher self, my potential? So with gratitude, forgiveness, and inspiration in construct with reconciliation of accountability, I think those lessons every time make the most frustrating. I think of Viktor Frankl when I think of golf. Mm. And the picture that comes to mind sometimes, this happened to me yesterday. I was playing Monarch Beach for the first time in a while. And I just had a bad run. When you play by feel and you don't know what you're doing, you can have some really bad runs. And so I went triple, double, double, and then was one over on the last six holes. But I thought of Viktor Frankl when it was triple, double. My son was par, bogey, and he started talking trash to his dad. And I just started thinking, how did Viktor Frankl during the Holocaust, while eating fish head soup and dirty water, find the light, the love, and the lessons in it to be able to come out of that situation and go par, bogey, par, mm-hmm. Or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's because you give meaning to everything that you see. And those people, and I'll finish with this, because someone who's very integral in golf taught me this lesson, Bob Parsons, mm-hmm. owner of PXG and exited for over $4 billion with GoDaddy. He said to me, David, if you can learn to love what you don't love, bad shots out of bounds, missed putts, if you can learn to love what you don't like, you know, maybe the wind or the cold or some other element that is inclusive of golf, and if you can learn to love what other people don't love or like, and you do it every day, and you do it without quit, no matter how frustrating it is, life will tell you all its secrets. Mm. It'll give you its cheat codes. It'll make life easy. It'll make golf easy, not dis-easy. And to me, with gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and being inspired in spirit, life and golf, as frustrating as it can be with as many ups and downs, void shortages, and obstacles, can be easy. You can enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of your potential and be happy.
Love it. Yeah, it's funny how the less you hold on to the thing, the easier it is for it to show up.
Yeah.
And so that's where the gratitude comes from.
I pursue systems. I pursue lessons in systems and allow the outcome, the divine direction and the divine time of the outcomes take care of themselves. I know if I can improve upon the systems, the process, that the outcomes will be better than I ever imagined.
Thanks for hopping aboard, David.
Thanks for coming, awesome. Hosting me in my own studio. Yeah. Anytime. Let's do this more often.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you being here and everything you're doing for your community.
Yeah.
I do, by the way, want to offer to your community, I give my book away to everyone. I pay for the book. I pay for shipping. Everything's on me. Email me, David david@dmelter.com. I'll sign a copy, send it to you, pay for shipping. david@dmelter.com. It'll even help you with your golf game.
Love it.
Thanks, David.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for hopping aboard, guys. Before you hop off the train, I think I got something you're going to love. Our new YouTube channel is growing fast. It's something I'm putting a lot of focus and time and my heart into. So if you guys like the podcast, our YouTube is going to come out with the video podcast of the audio version every Monday on our YouTube channel, as well as more and more videos to help you enjoy the ride and keep your game on track. So go to youtube.com/@thepartrain or just search The Partrain on the YouTubes, and hopefully we can keep riding this train together. Thanks again for hopping aboard. Hope you guys enjoy the ride.